grab your laptop charger, like, right now and just look at the back of it.
Yeah, it is a total mess back there.
It really is. It's just covered in this microscopic alphabet soup of cryptic logos. You know, C-E-V-D-E, tiny little symbols that look like houses. Uh-huh. And have you ever wondered what they actually mean?
Most people probably just ignore them, honestly.
Right. Well, today we are taking your notes on global electrical standards and finally decoding these stamps. We're looking at how these frameworks keep our technology functioning and, more importantly, keep our buildings from catching fire. So, okay, let's unpack this. Where do these rules even come from?
Well, they start at the very top. There's a global framework that basically makes international electronics trade possible. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I mean, the ISO, the International Organization for Standardization, and its partner, the IEC.
Which is the International Electrotechnical Commission, right?
Exactly, yeah. And the IEC has been around since, gosh, 1906.
Wow, that is a really long time. I always thought of the ISO as like a sort of global constitution. You know, it harmonizes general practices across the world. So does that make the IEC its specialized electrical task force?
That is a great way to put it, actually. The IEC strictly dedicates itself to electrical standards. They form the absolute foundation of most national safety rules. And what's fascinating here is that without the IEC acting as an international passport for electronics, global trade would basically gridlock.
Because countries wouldn't trust each other's manufacturing.
Right. A microchip manufactured in one country wouldn't be universally recognized as safe to install in, say, a toaster built in another.
Wait, but how do they actually determine what is safe? I mean, I imagine they aren't just plugging things in and hoping for the best.
Oh, not at all. The testing mechanisms are highly rigorous. Take their standards for how well a device protects its internal wiring from dust and water. They don't just, you know, guess if a phone is water resistant.
I would definitely hope not.
Yeah, the standard outlines the exact mechanical process, like how to blast a device with pressurized water jets from specific angles for 3 minutes.
Just to see if a single drop gets in.
Exactly, to see if even a single drop penetrates the casing.
Okay, that makes sense.
Hmm.
But if the ISO and the IEC are creating these universal rules, why is my laptop charger still crowded with 10 different local logos? Where does that harmony break down?
Well, it breaks down at the border. Global rules have to be translated into regional dialects, essentially, because every country has its own unique legal system, infrastructure, and safety culture.
Oh, I see.
So countries stamp their own specific marks right on top of the global ones just to prove local compliance.
Got it. So they take the global baseline and just kind of tweak it for their own backyards.
Exactly. Take the U.S., for example. We use the NEC, the National Electrical Code. It's heavily focused on fire prevention and, interestingly, uniquely relies on a non-metric system.
Which I imagine complicates things.
It does, because it physically changes how wire thickness is calculated compared to the rest of the world. Mm. And then you also have ANSI, the American National Standards Institute.
Now, ANSI is a bit of a curveball in these notes. I mean, it supervises electronics, sure.
Right.
But apparently it also regulates homeland security, nanotechnology, and even identity theft prevention.
It is totally wild, right?
Yeah. How does a manufacturer even begin to navigate an agency with a mandate that broad?
It is incredibly complex. And you compare that broad U.S. approach to Europe, which relies on the CE mark. That stands for Conformity European.
Yeah.
And that CE mark specifically indicates compliance with European health, safety, and environmental protection laws. Or, you know, look at Germany.
What do they do differently?
They utilize DIIM for technical formats and VDE for strict metric-based electrical safety testing.
So Germany has its own hyper-specific metric rules on top of the European rules. It seems like a manufacturer could easily mess up and print the wrong logo, especially since some of these look identical. Like, here's where it gets really interesting. How is a consumer, or even a customs agent, supposed to tell the European CE mark apart from the Chinese export standard that is also abbreviated as CE? They look exactly the same to me.
Yeah, the secret is actually the physical geometry of the logo. The European mark has a slightly wider gap between the C and the E.
Wait, really? Just the spacing?
Yep. If you were to draw a full circle out of the C, the edge of the E aligns perfectly with it. The Chinese mark, though, places the letters much closer together.
That is incredibly subtle.
It is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this tiny visual detail highlights the massive complexities of global supply chain compliance. I mean, if a manufacturer gets that precise spacing wrong, it completely changes the legal meaning of the stamp.
And I guess their product can be seized at the border.
Absolutely. Just for that.
Wow. All because of a millimeter of ink. So what does this all mean? I guess it means the next time you buy a piece of equipment, you will know those letters aren't just random decorations. They are your guarantee of safety and consistency.
Mm.
Electrical safety really is a universal language. It is just spoken with some very strict regional dialects.
Yeah, and this raises an important question. As the world trends heavily toward harmonizing all these national rules into single international agreements, will regional marks like the NEC or VDE eventually become obsolete?
That is a great point to think about.
Right, like will all those tiny cryptic logos on the back of your charger eventually be replaced by just one universal global safety stamp?